If you're looking to buy a home in the KC metro area, you might walk up into a real estate office and say, "Hey, I hear there's a recession out there. Show me the bargains." But what you're likely to hear is this.
"Really? Yeah, let me check MLS. I don't see any deals there. There are no deals."
I'm Jabalani LaFall, and on today's Central Standard, a look at how the KC housing market is recovering.
We were absolutely shocked when it sold like that.
We didn't believe it till the day they signed.
Now, you know, we have an offer on a new place, and it's over asking price, which I don't think that we ever thought that we would ever do. But I think we realized the value in getting it now and, you know, what it could potentially become as the market keeps rebounding.
And we want to hear what's going on with your own buying and selling pursuits from a real estate perspective. Join the conversation today on Central Standard after this hour's news. Good morning, Kansas City. When it comes to home value, it's always a matter of time and perspective. Good news. According to housing index data, home appreciation rates are up 0.5% from last quarter, but down 2.8% from last year. Furthermore, in the last 5 years, they're down 8%, but up 12% in the last 10 years. And the upside in this volatile shell game, in the last 20 years, local home appreciation rates are up 81%. Proof positive that you just never know. But it's always good to try to find out. This is Central Standard. I'm Jabalani LaFall. Today, a look beyond those complex numbers with a comprehensive take on the current housing market and where we could be going from here. We'll look at home prices, building statistics, and the areas for hot real estate opportunities today. We have a bevy of guests. Joining us now is Dan Whitney of Land Marketing. Dan, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
Now, what's your overall assessment of the local housing market as it looks right now? Start off with a big question.
Well, it's been a wild roller coaster ride, as everyone is well aware of if you have anything to do with housing and have a roof over your head or want one. But the good news is we have gone down that first big dip, so to speak, and we are on a recovery path that has some sustainability now. So there is a lot more optimism in the marketplace for the new home building industry. And that's spreading out through other sectors of the market, the suppliers, the subcontractors, and so forth, creating jobs.
Tell us what you do at Land Marketing. You've been tracking a 9-county area for about 13 to 15 years?
That's correct. We look at any new home subdivision and monitor the housing activity. So we want to know how many homes have started and closed, how many are under construction, and most importantly during that challenging time was how many of those homes were finished and unoccupied. And those are the homes that created all the news headlines.
Dan, during your discussion with KCUR's Frank Morris, a report he compiled that we're going to hear later in this hour, in a few moments as a matter of fact, you came up with a term called the beige gauge. Tell us about that.
Well, the beige gauge is not, it's not a chart, it's not a scientific instrument.
Not a beige book like the Federal Reserve.
No, sir. It's a concept. You know, in our discussion, Frank spoke of knowing someone in the real estate industry and how the housing activity had really picked up. I believe it was in Brookside or Prairie Village. And I said, that's wonderful, and that has to happen. But those are marquee destination-type neighborhoods that people will wait 5 years for the perfect house to come on the market. To really understand new housing growth, you have to look in the growth suburbs, the growth ring, so to speak. And
is this where most of the houses are beige?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, that's a characterization there. There are some gray. There's grayish, and there's an occasional green. But
you said grayish.
It's sort of gray, sort of beige.
Right.
But that's where people buy homes because their household is expanding. They're getting married. It's, you know, a need for a new household. And it's not a historic play. It's not they're waiting for that 50-year-old Cape Cod to come on the market. It's because they need a house or they choose to move up into those areas. I don't want to say they're all starter homes by any means. And in fact, that's not what's leading the recovery.
It's lifestyle driven versus long-term investment or second home or dream home driven.
It's more needs-based.
Right.
And quite frankly, school district based. Please, the local representative of the International Color Painters Association, don't give me a call about unfairly representing beige, but that's just a way to term that growth area in the market.
No magenta gauge in your future, in other words.
There might be.
One of the unique characteristics of our metro area has been the rapid growth of suburbia. Tell us about how that plays in to looking at this historically and looking at it going forward.
Well, Kansas City is not unique in terms of where housing growth has occurred, particularly in the last 15 years. Actually, you could go back to post-World War, and suburbia was happening then. Those happen to be areas that are pretty desirable right now. Long-term, what will happen with the cost of keeping up those suburbs, unknown. But in the very near future, that's where people are choosing to buy a lot of homes, primarily because lifestyle and school district choices.
We've been talking about the real estate market with Dan Whitney. Now for a deeper look at the more human side of the local housing market, we have this report from KCUR's Frank Morris. Let's check it out.
Not long after they moved in a few years ago, Jeremy and Elizabeth Bixby realized that their new place in North Overland Park near Metcalf and Shawnee Mission Parkway may not have been exactly what they were looking for.
When we first moved in, the guy that lived right next to us, I'm out cutting the grass or whatever, and he's out doing the same, and he looks over and he says, "Hey, don't worry about the gunfire." I'm like, "What?" And as it turns out, there's a shooting range right next door called the Bullet Hole.
We didn't know what the bullet hole was. I'm thinking bullet holes in the fence, and I was...
They decided this wasn't the place where they wanted to start a family. So the Bixbys resolved to sell their 40-year-old duplex. It went up for sale March 1st of last year, priced to sell quickly, or so they thought.
Needless to say, by July 1st, I was starting to wonder if it would ever sell. We had thought when we bought that the market had hit bottom, and we realized that it hadn't.
Nobody even came to their open houses. The real estate agent literally could not pay other realtors to set foot in the place. Meantime, the Bixbys delayed having children. They even passed up job opportunities because they couldn't move. They cut and cut the price. Then finally, they just took their duplex off the market. But when they put it back on this spring, bam.
We were absolutely shocked when it sold like that.
Even taking a substantial loss, they were delighted.
Jeremy's brother was visiting, and we looked at him. We said, "You can't leave. You're a good luck charm, and you're not allowed to leave." I don't know if he knew it, but I was only half joking. I didn't want him to leave because we didn't know what it was different. We thought maybe it was him.
Probably wasn't.
The market is different than it was last year.
Sue Ellen Dice is a real estate agent in Kansas City. She says sales across the region are up more than 13% from last year, easily double that in some areas. Kansas City's economy is diverse, and the housing market is kind of boring. Home prices never ballooned here the way they did in some other cities, and they didn't fall as fast or as hard. Still, Dice says many new buyers come into her office expecting recession-era giveaways. That's when she has to pull up the realtor's multiple listing service.
Really? Yeah. Let me check MLS. I don't see any deals there. There are no deals. I don't think there are any deals.
Even for people with good jobs, credit, and savings, potential home buyers like Brian Tamke and his fiance.
I think we both kind of went in thinking, oh, well, this is still a buyer's market. We're going to get a great deal. We're going to be able to go back and forth on negotiations. Wasn't like that.
Tamke and his fiance wanted a house in Brookside, that leafy, walkable, you know, idyllic neighborhood. They offered full price as soon as the place hit the market. Wasn't enough.
Now, you know, we have an offer on a new place, and it's over asking price, which I don't think that we ever thought that we would ever do. But I think we realized the value in getting it now, and, you know, what it could potentially become as the market keeps rebounding.
The house they're buying is in foreclosure. It's been vacant for a year, but it's in Armor Hills, another popular neighborhood in Kansas City. Prairie Village, Leawood, and Mission are some other hot areas. Other parts of the market, though, have a whole lot more rebounding yet to do. Dan Whitney is president of a company called Land Marketing. He tracks local real estate, especially new construction.
We are not in high gear, certainly, maybe not even in gear by historical standards, but we're certainly above last year.
Builders are launching far more home construction projects this year than last. Yet Whitney says only about one-fifth as many building permits will be issued this year as during the peak. Prices have risen, but not to pre-recession levels. And Whitney says the people actually buying are not the ones you'd expect.
This recovery has just been kind of turned on its head when considering who is out leading the recovery.
Whitney says it's disproportionately wealthy folks with options who are just tired of sitting out the market. Whitney says the real recovery will come when moderately priced homes in what he calls oatmeal suburbia start selling.
That's what I call the beige gauge.
Young families moving into $250,000 or so beige houses. Whitney's beige gauge is flat because a lot of folks like Jeremy and Elizabeth Bixby are staying out of the market.
I think now actually probably is a very good time to buy. I think we just need a little bit of time to just basically recover from just the stress of trying to sell the home, because it took us over a year to do that. Never done it before, and I don't particularly want to do it again. So when we do this, when we buy a home this time, we want to be there quite a long time.
Real estate agents say the recession has shaped a generation of buyers, that the ones they're seeing now are better organized, more clear-headed, and analytical than those of past years. So while much of the Kansas City area housing market is still subdued, the sales going through tend to be a lot less risky and a lot more viable than those that preceded the downturn. Frank Morris, KCUR News.
That was KCUR's Frank Morris with a profile of local families and their journeys into local real estate markets, their buying and selling conundrums. We learned that sales are up, but deals are still hard to come by. You're listening to Central Standard on 89.3 KCUR FM, streaming live on KCUR.org. I'm your host, Jabalani LaFall. Today, we're looking beyond the numbers with comprehensive takes on the current housing market and where we could be going from here. Our guest is real estate expert Dan Whitney of Land Marketing, who joined Frank Morris for a conversation in that piece where he talked about oatmeal suburbs and beige gauge of suburban real estate markets. Kansas City, are you in the market for a home or selling your current home? What has been your current, past, or future experience? What is your assessment of the local real estate market based on that experience? Give us a call at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. You can also hit us up at centralstandard@kcur.org. Dan Whitney, how do you reconcile the relationship between flat to declining home prices, but a slight rise in sales? What's happening here?
Well, it's a balancing of supply and demand. The vast oversupply of new homes that we had on the market that peaked in January of 07 is gone. We have a fifth of the new home inventory available on the market. So, it, as that piece pointed out, it the market has changed pretty drastically. And people who are expecting to go buy a new home that is drastically discounted will not find that home. The builders cannot replace it at a loss.
The piece that Frank Morris did that we just heard mentioned that the home buyers are more cautious, more trepidatious, more savvy. How has the downturn affected the attitudes of home buyers?
I think it's had a profound impact, you know, on our whole mindset on real estate. And, you know, the old axiom for years and years was buy as much house as you could afford. And at some point in you know, the last 05, 06 in there, it was changed to buy as much house as you can. And so now I think people are much more in tune with the economics of home buying, and you have to have your financial house in order before you can get your physical house in order.
By historical standards, you say we're not in as high gear as far as new home construction, or what economists call home starts. Why is that?
Well, a lot of households that have stayed out of the housing market and buying a new or resale home are just getting their finances in order. But, you know, I do want to point out that we are up 40% in permits from last year. So the beige part of the market is coming along nicely. Our recovery will continue to grow as more and more households at different economic levels get their finances in order so they can meet the demands of the current financing requirements.
It's interesting that you say that about our beige home, beige gauge, because Jack Overland Park asks, he says, we purchased a beige home in one of the endless developments in Overland Park during the market high or market boom. They're trying hard to get it sold, but have had very little interest in spite of pricing it at a market rate 30% below their original purchase price. What are your projections for this area in the next year or two? Now, he's talking about Overland Park. You don't quite know which part of Overland Park he's talking about, but he's talking about the general area. They priced at 30% below their purchase price. Still can't get any bite.
Yeah, and it, you know, a question like that really depends on the specifics. The devil's in the details. Is it at $350,000, $400,000? Because there are new homes being produced that have, you know, newer finishes or newer features. That's a different kind of a prospect, selling prospect, than one at $250,000, where very few new homes are being supplied. So in some price ranges, the days on market for resales is quite short, and others could be a mile away or quite long because it's at a different price point.
We're going to stay in Overland Park for a little while with Iggy in Overland Park. Iggy, what's up?
Oh, hey, how are you?
Pretty good.
Well, I'm an independent residential real estate broker here in Overland Park, and I primarily work in Johnson County area, occasionally venturing, you know, into Leavenworth, Tonganoxie, Basser, Bonner Springs area, and really never crossing state line too much. But I don't know what you're talking about. There are no deals. Give you an idea, just now I have a contract pending on a property which is a short sale in Olathe, a wonderful home. My client just is jumping up and down waiting for the short sale to go through. Three-bedroom home, 2.5 baths, finished basement, two-car garage split, you know, in a 110 to 115 price, yet the appraised value of this house is 145, 147, if I remember. And, you know, 3, 4, 5 years ago, we could not have touched that house for this price.
Thank you very much, Iggy, for contributing to this conversation. A surprise here. Dan Whitney, a broker, says he has deals.
That's not a surprise.
It's not a surprise at all.
No. And I'm not saying he's exaggerating at all. What's not a surprise to me is there aren't any new products available in that price range. So when I talk about the deals that were available several years ago that aren't now, I'm talking about the new home market. And the resale market, we will continue to see situations like this, particularly in that price range where there's nothing new to buy. They are going to buy resale.
Kansas City, are you in the market for a home or selling your current home? What has been your experience? What is your assessment of the local real estate market based on that experience? We're looking mainly for home buyers and sellers, or people in the market, or people who are maybe amateur prognosticators. Give us a call at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. You can also hit us up at centralstandard@kcur.org. We just had a call from a real estate broker who's got a lot of deals. And, you know, big surprise there. But what are the challenges for real estate agents and brokers in a climate such as this? What are the remaining challenges?
I think one of the biggest challenges right now for anyone in the residential real estate market is trying to get the buyers and the sellers to understand the reality of the current market. for so long there was a mismatch between the seller's expectations based on what they paid at the height of the market versus the buyer's expectation of assuming that every deal was going to be a steal. And the reality is somewhere in the middle. And that's a heck of an education process for a lot of realtors to take their buyers or sellers through.
Have we lost patience in real estate?
A little bit.
Given the boom and bust mentality and the boom and bust cycle that we experienced with real estate financing, with pricing, with the subprime element of it going all the way up to commercial paper and Wall Street, have we lost patience on letting a home value do what it's supposed to do?
I think that's a very good question. And the statistics you opened the show with were very enlightening, particularly looking at a 10-year appreciation cycle.
12%.
Yeah. And you know, this has been the first recession that we've been through as a hyper-connected society. So we're going to get an update every 4 seconds if we want it. And we think things move that fast in real estate. It's a longer cycle of economics.
And so people complaining about perhaps short sales right now, would they do better by maybe waiting?
It really comes down to what they need to live in. We have to think first and foremost that a house is a structure for raising your family or living your life. It's shelter versus the speculative nature that housing had become a victim of.
The flip it reality show mentality.
Oh, that was the worst thing for so many people to assume that that was what happened every single day. And housing is shelter. It's should not be viewed as your investment tool. If it appreciates, which it most likely will, it has here, that's wonderful.
Betsy asks, how is the market in, quote-unquote, limestone land? You talked about the beige gauge. What about limestone land, the shirtwaist and four squares in Northeast and Old Hyde Park? She says she has a four square on Gladstone and is considered selling it, but looking at a $50,000 loss from 5 years ago. What's happening in limestone land, Northeast and Old Hyde Park, in the heart of the city? That's Betsy's question.
I'm not as familiar with that area. I can tell you that those home prices had taken a dip. They just weren't as volatile. It has so much to do with the condition of the home. And you know, unfortunately, because of those shows that you mentioned, the Flip It or the Buy This House on the Cheap, everyone wants some new features, even in older historic homes, and they're kind of tainted by that. So it has taken a hit.
Yeah, you had cheap credit. You had financing, home improvement financing that was available in droves, and that drove the culture.
It did. I call it almost a granite culture, that if you don't have granite countertops, you're not going to sell that house, and it's kind of silly.
Ann in Kearney, welcome to Central Standard.
Hi.
Hello.
My question concerns rural homes and land in the Kansas City area and how those prices are faring. I know that land tends to not be as volatile as maybe some homes in town. But I was just wondering, and also in comparison between the Northland and rural land south of Kansas City, what are the differences in prices there?
Thank you very much for your question. And we saw a recent spike in farmland prices being bought by developers and rural spaces being bought up. What are you seeing in the rural markets?
Well, the rural markets are dominated by large lot subdivisions. And that sector of the new housing market has taken a hit. You know, what a lot of people do that have the dream of a large lot lifestyle soon find out it's a lawnmower lifestyle, and it takes a lot of work. And
20 minutes to the grocery store lifestyle as well.
So for some people that want that privacy and that the scenery, it's perfect. And they kind of want what they want, and they're going to spend the time on the mower, however they maintain the property. But for a lot of people, it becomes a lot of work.
We got JJ and KCK. Good times, JJ. Welcome to Central Standard.
Hey, how's it going?
How's it going?
Pretty good. I had a question. I am under the understanding that currently in California, the ratio of distressed property to non-distressed property available, or on, just on the market as a whole, is about 2-to-1, and that's killing new home starts in California. What is that like in the Kansas City area? What is the ratio of property that's currently at some level of distress or foreclosure and property that is merely just available?
Thank you, JJ, for your question. I'm going to go out on a limb as a California native and somebody who was in the real estate market there at one point in time and looking, and somebody who dealt with the real estate market here, considerably less, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's why I'm glad I'm in Kansas City today.
And so it's
much less.
Much less.
And I do not have a number on that.
And probably no real ratio to consider. Not like California.
No.
Kathleen in Midtown, welcome to Central Standard.
Oh, hi. I was pigtailing on something your guest had said a few minutes ago. I think people really need to trust their realtor. I've been selling for 20 years in Midtown, and I can't tell you how many times I'll walk in and, you know, give my advice, and the people will say, oh, no. Yeah, our appraiser said it was only worth 120, you know, and I'm saying, well, the market's changed. And I always want to say, how many houses have you sold? Get an experienced realtor, get recommendations, and trust what they say. This market is no different than the market that was going down in 2001, but no one would believe it. You know, everything goes up and down, and your realtor is on top of it.
Thank you, Kathleen, for that conversation. Is everybody an expert now, too? Home buyers who are not realtors or who are not appraisers, who are not finance experts, everybody's an expert.
Well, you know, the wonderful thing about technology is that there's so much more information out there now than there ever has been. So, you know, truthfully, more people are educated before they start the home buying process.
But they're not experts, and they're not looking at it in the aggregate, and they're not looking at it long term.
Well, they're passionate about it.
Right.
So if you have a dispassionate person that looks at all the information, you know, you're going to get a more realistic look at the housing market and what's a fair market value than someone who is looking for an answer, and they'll probably find it because there is a lot of information out there.
We're talking about the current local housing market and where we could be going from here. Our guest is a real estate expert, Dan Whitney of Land Marketing. We're going to take a quick break. When we return, we look deeper into the world of home builders and real estate developers to discuss the role of these things in the future of the market here in Kansas City. Meanwhile, Kansas City, are you in the market for a home or selling your current home or looking to buy a home? Give us a call at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. You can also hit us up at centralstandard@kcur.org. And welcome back to Central Standard. I'm your host, Jabalani LaFall. Join us tomorrow on the show. We'll be speaking with an Emmy Award-winning actor, TV and stage legend, Ed Asner. Ask him about the future of our country, and his answers are kind of bleak, so we'll be speaking with a professional futurist as well after that to get a balance. That's all tomorrow at 10 a.m. Meanwhile, when it comes to real estate markets, Kansas City has been described as boring, but considering all the volatility of housing prices and the value in other places in the wake of the economic downturn, boring can be a good thing. Kansas City, are you in the market for a home or selling your current home? What's been your experience? 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. You can also hit us up at centralstandard@kcur.org. We want to hear your triumph and conundrums and stories about the housing market here in KC. Humanize it for us. In the meantime, now we continue our conversation about the local housing market with Dan Whitney of Land Marketing. Plus, we're welcoming a builder into the conversation, Brian Rodrock of Rodrock Homes. Welcome to the show, Brian.
Good morning. Good morning.
So what are things looking like from your vantage point right now as a home builder?
For us, the local Kansas City market has really taken a turn for the better. Our inventory levels, and you got the greatest guy sitting next to you that understands inventory levels, but our new home inventory is probably at one of the all-time lows, if not 10 or 15-year low, at least in certain good sectors of Kansas City. Johnson County, the market's really cleaned itself up, and we're seeing a lot of new starts and a lot of new activity, sales and new builds.
Brian, you recently had two new bids on one home. How long has it been since that happened?
Yeah, I was talking to Andrea yesterday about that for the first time.
Who is this Andrea?
Oh, I'm sorry. your gal. I was talking to somebody. It's probably the first time it's happened in 3 years that we've had multiple two full price offers on one home. It was just about a month ago, but it's been 3 years. Probably the good old days. We saw that quite a bit. It's a testament that we're doing right. Our inventories are low, and we're building the right product.
Dan, property values are more stable in Kansas City than other markets. Talk about that. And you can chime in too, Brian, if you'd like.
All right.
Well, it's sometimes very hard to convince someone in this market that this is the picture of stability. But, you know, the Midwestern swath going from the Dakotas to Texas was the valley of sanity, so to speak, in housing. So, you know, it's partially because of a fairly stable population and employment base, unlike, say, Las Vegas, which had a huge influxes of new residents that drove up prices. And when a recession hit, they leave. So we don't have that kind of a cycle.
Right. The American Southwest, Florida, and California were just hotbeds that sort of dragged down the rest of the country and also had large-scale builders in those markets contributing to that volatility. Brian, what is the absence of large-scale builders in the KC metro? How does that contribute to the picture?
It's interesting. Kansas City's made up of, before the Great Depression or recession that the people call it, we had 800 builders, a huge number of builders in Kansas City, made up of small, family-oriented home builders that drove their business on profit. We had one large company named Pulte Homes that was here for four or five years. Large companies, they're beholden to their shareholders, so they build houses and they sell houses at a huge loss discount to raise revenue for their shareholders. Kansas City is made up of people like my family, the Rodrocks. We're here for our community. We're here to protect the property values of the homes that we sold to people before. It's just kind of a long-standing community of home builders, and it's a different mindset. We're here to build Kansas City as opposed to come in and take care of our shareholders. So it protects our property values, I think.
And it's insular as well.
Exactly, yes.
But there may be room for some large-scale home builders, Dan Whitney?
I think they're an important part of the mix. The very volatile markets, Phoenix and Las Vegas, for example, were completely dominated by national home builders, very volatile. In other markets, you have that production builder as just a part of the mix. And while I agree with Brian on you know, all the benefits of a company like his and many others in this market, many first-time home buyers rely on that production builder home that now they can't find.
The thing about this community, though, is if a large national home builder wants to come in, they're going to have to get a lay of the land.
Oh, absolutely. Everyone wants to buy from someone local, and particularly in this market. And, you know, anyone that comes in from the outside, they very quickly become local because they have to work with local suppliers, local developers, local title companies, so on and so forth.
Brian Rodrock, is this the status quo here? Do you tell outsiders, hey, buddy, you're in Kansas City now. Here's the lay of the land. How's it work?
Yeah, I wished I had that much power. That'd be pretty nice. No, Dan and I have visited before. I mean, the opportunity is right for an outside builder like Roush Coleman, who's here now. They're a Midwestern, but they're a regional builder. The opportunity is right for Kansas City for somebody like that to step in and take a larger share of the market for that, I guess, that first-time buyer, that lower-end price point for sure is ripe for a Pulte or a Roush Coleman to grow again.
Brian, Dan, how does KC stack up to cities of comparable size with comparable topography and demographics?
In terms of building?
In terms
new,
of building.
New home building volume?
And its place in the overall housing market.
Well, our closest competitor that I'm intimately knowledgeable of is Omaha, because we do the same thing up there. And that housing market experienced about 50% of the decline that we did here. So our market, as boring as some people might say it is, was much more volatile than that market. Now, that market had the presence of a couple of high-volume entry-level home builders that did even out some of the valleys and provided more steady employment for a lot of suppliers and subcontractors. But it still has a lot of builders just like Brian that do a great job on that next move up.
And Brian Roderick, give us a sense of how things have changed since before the Great Recession and the housing bubble for you as a home builder and for the market for home builders as well. How have things changed?
You know, people are buying the McMansions. They're not that large 4,000, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 square foot house. That market, those there's still buyers are out there, but they're buying a smaller, more sophisticated. I won't use the word green. That's a hot topic, but a home that has more features that aren't as big, more energy features for sure. It's changed that way. People are more conscientious of what a home is going to cost them on the energy side. And so we've changed our business to where we're offering higher-end standards for insulation and energy, air conditioners, and high-efficient furnaces. So that's a big change that I've seen in the last 24 months.
But you also mentioned that there was a great deal of bloodletting in the market during the housing crisis for home builders. Approximately how many builders did we lose in our market during that housing crisis? And what is the new landscape look like?
Yeah, Dan, do you know, you might know more about that?
Well, at the height of the market, according to the HBA, we had about 950 builders that built more than two homes. And right now we're looking at about a third of that.
So essentially about right around 300?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Right. Wow. And of those 300, there's probably just four or five building companies that control probably a 15% market share in Kansas City now. I mean, there's still a lot of smalls out there doing twos and fives, but the top five are taking more of a market share.
You're listening to Central Standard on KCUR 89.3 FM, streaming live on KCUR.org. We're talking home building and the housing market overall in the KC metro area. I'm your host, Jabalani LaFall. Our guests are Dan Whitney of Land Marketing and Brian Roderick of home builder Roderick Homes. Kansas City, what changes have you seen in your own neighborhood in terms of home building and renovation? Are you seeing growth outside of your window or in your backyard? Are you also in the market for a home or selling your current home? What's been your experience? Give us a call at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. You can also hit us up at centralstandard@kcur.org. Dan, and to some extent, Brian, you can jump in here. Are the suburbs still growing as fast as they were in the pre-recession era? What's happening in the building arena in the suburban areas you're looking at, Dan Whitney? And then, Brian, you can go ahead and jump in. Tell us what your hot areas are.
Well, they haven't fully recovered to the market highs that we experienced in 2004, 2003. You know, we had in the metro area, our study area, we had 13,400 permits pulled. And the vast majority of that is in those suburban areas. And, you know, last year we were under 3,000. So, you know, the suburbs are recovering at different paces, depending on, bellwether communities pulling a lot more traffic in. But they are recovering. We've seen some very significant permit number changes. And suburbs, those suburban communities are having to adjust to how they deal with having a lot of develop lots on the ground with utilities in place and no recapture income revenue off of those investments.
Meaning nobody's moving in.
Nobody's moving in and paying for their sewer bill.
Brian Roderick, where are the hot subdivisions and where are the ghost towns?
The back to that question that Dan just answered, the suburban environment. When you go from, he makes it sound that they're recovering, and I would say the recovery is almost in full swing, because when you go from 3,000 permits, from 13 to 3,000 and back from 3,000 to 4, which is where we're going, that's a huge uptick. I mean, in the new construction arena, we all feel busier. Granted, it's not where we were, but we're busy. So it's kind of I want to shed some good news on that. Roderick Homes owns three communities, all in Johnson County. We build throughout the Metro, Wyandotte, Miami County, and Johnson County. The 159th Street corridor in Overland Park with the Blue Valley Schools, we're seeing not just our community, but we're starting new lots. There's several communities that are actually developing new lots, starting new plats. I mean, it's kind of re-energized that whole area, and partly because that lot supply got so low. It's a big deal out there.
We have a listener who writes in at centralstandard@kcur.org. We are renting and wanting to buy a condo near the plaza. We've seen many, but very few selling. We are renting in a building that has 11 units for sale, but only sold 4 each in the last 2 years. Should we offer more than 60% of the asking price? They're wanting to know, should they offer more? They're looking in a relatively ritzy area, an area with low inventory, as they say in the business. What should DWR in the plaza do in the market for a condo, Dan?
Well, if they want the condo, they're going to have to offer the price that the seller will take. So I don't care about the exact percentage of asking price. It is a negotiation between buyer and seller. But back to the bigger condo issue, during this housing depression, many projects, condo projects, were converted to rental. And so this is an adjustment period for those condo dwellers or prospects. Those communities will come out of the rental ranks as the market gets better and better.
And it affected condo prices immensely.
It did, absolutely.
It really did. Ryan in Kansas City, Missouri. Welcome to Central Standard.
Hi, thanks for taking the call. I just wanted to sort of drive home the point that you guys made, that Kansas City is a sort of a boring market, where we've been in the housing market for about a year now and have put offers on 4 houses and have had tight competition on all 4 and actually lost out on all 4 of them. And most of those houses, except for one, have sold near asking price, and the one sold above asking price. We finally did get a house on Monday, but I just wanted to give you guys the point that I see the market is in Kansas City is staying pretty strong, and we're getting ready to put our current house on the market now. So
where did you buy and where did you move from? If you're willing to divulge that information, Ryan.
We live in Brookside now, 64113, and we're moving just across the Ward Parkway into the same zip code in 64113, and that's where we mainly look in that area.
That's always a hotter market, though, here in Kansas City, though, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, and that's exactly what I was talking about, one of those bellwether or destination neighborhoods that people will invest a lot of time to get just the right house. And it is a different buying cycle, a different mindset than the buyer looking in at a new home in suburbia.
What are the hottest areas, Brian Roderick, to build in? What are you seeing as the greatest demand for new homes in the metro area?
We are focusing a lot of our energy because of the demand in the Blue Valley schools. Somebody that comes out of Brookside and they move into a 4-bedroom, 2-story, or a 5-bedroom, story and a half, and they put their kids in Blue Valley schools. That's probably the number one hottest spot in Kansas City is the Blue Valley Overland Park corridor. Wouldn't you say, Dan?
We've also seen Platte County have an increase in building permits. Mm-hmm. What's going on up there, Dan?
We don't build up there.
I know
there,
you don't build up there. Dan, what's going on up there?
Well, a lot of the
Sorry, Brian.
new housing activity in Platte County is kind of counter to the trend, and that is quite a few new for sale townhomes, which we don't see very much of right now because that buyer generally is having a hard time qualifying. But it's more of an entry-level kind of product and a couple of subdivisions that are doing first and second move up south of Platte City.
We have Leanne in Derby. Welcome to Central Standard.
Well, hello. Thanks for taking my call. I am from Derby, and we're building a house out by Rose Hill, so I know it's out of your market. But we're building a greenhouse with 2x6 and super energy efficient. We're also using stucco and trying to make it as high efficiency as possible. And I was wondering if the market is going that direction more than just the standard 2x4, clapboard type house.
Thank you for your question, Leanne. Brian, you mentioned some uptick in green homes. Talk about that.
Energy efficient. We definitely see that move. We see a lot of customers upgrading their insulation and the ceiling and the sidewalls and doing a HERS rating, which is an energy rating. They do a blower door test on the home to see just how tight the home is and where the air infiltration comes in and out. We're seeing a big uptick in that knowledge, I guess. And for the knowledge is first, and then that starts getting pushed into the marketplace, and we're trying to do that and be on the front runner of that. I don't know that it's going to, people in Johnson County or Platte or wherever, you live in a home for 4 or 5 years and then get transferred out. I don't know that that'll take hold in our local market for a while because we're still get transferred in and we're transient. But folks that are going to live in a home for 10 to 15 years or 20 years, they definitely should be educated and get educated to put those components in their house.
According to the Kansas City Home Builders Association, Brian and Dan, the March 2012 residential permit statistics indicate a significant jump over 2011 from the same quarter last year. Is that growth of the first and second quarters continuing as we enter the summer?
I think it is, just because of the momentum that's in place. Last year, it was a challenging year with a lot of the home building momentum taken away by the first-time home buyer tax credit. This year is different. It's a much deeper level of interest, and the buyer mood is much different. And that's really what we need, buyer mood.
Brian Rodrock, you're literally on the ground, literally in charge of trying to procure some of these home permits. What are you seeing in the way of growth for the third and fourth quarters of 2012?
I think it's going to. We'll have a much better third and fourth quarter this year than we did last. Every quarter will continue to be better. Part of it's demand because people have been in their homes for so long and they need to move. But the second part is the financing key from our local banks that finance and take the risk to put money into a builder's coffer so they can build houses, whether it be build jobs or speculative homes to be for sale. That's definitely freeing up in our market.
Dan Whitney, Brian just mentioned demand. Is there pent-up demand?
Yes, there is. And I think that's the strongest force impacting housing going forward. When I look at what our normal, quote, normal housing market should be in Kansas City versus what we were and what we overbuilt, and then what we underbuilt in the last 5 years, we have already created a pent-up demand we've clearly underbuilt 4,000 more homes than we ever overbuilt, and I think in the next 5 years we'll have about a 20,000 home pent-up demand.
And so what does the 20,000 home pent-up demand give us in the way of our market?
Continued momentum. Now, I don't believe that our new home volume will jump that drastically because other things are at play, mostly people's personal finances. But more and more households are getting those cleaned up and will be back in the market because it's time. They've been out of the market for quite a few years and they're ready.
So given this pent-up demand and given the fact that short sales and to some extent, a lesser extent, foreclosures are still a large factor in the real estate market, how does that affect the home building market going forward?
Well, as far as the short sales and the foreclosures, I don't think it impacts it quite as much as people would like to believe. Most people that are buying or in the market for a new home don't have the patience to deal with the foreclosure or the short sale process. It is not an easy process. It's uncertain. It can drag out. Most people like the romantic idea of getting a huge discount on a little bit of a fixer-upper, but an as-is scares a lot of people away pretty quickly.
Right.
So, you know, most people toy with that idea and then go to a resale that's ready to move into or a new home that's ready.
Brian Rodrock, you have something to add to that about new homes and their place in the market going forward?
Yeah, Dan, he's 100% right. That buyer that we attract that wants a new home with new granite, new paint, their customizations, their carpet, their full painting in the kitchen cabinets, that sophisticated buyer is different than somebody that wants to do a fixer-upper. So the foreclosures, yes, they impacted our pricing levels and the financial part of it, but that buyer still stays in a new home. So as we're working our way through this, the new home inventory levels, and that's that 20,000 number Dan talked about, it won't happen tomorrow. We can't resupply those houses, but it'll be a steady resupply with a very balanced market, the new home industry, we think.
Plus, that home improvement financing isn't what it used to be, is it, Dan?
No, it's not.
We're talking about the local housing market and learning about it through the eyes of a home builder, Brian Rodrock of Home Builder of Rodrock Homes, and Dan Whitney, a land marketing, a guy who crunches the numbers on the data. And things are looking up, but as you look forward, you never know, right, Dan?
Oh, I know it's going to keep going up.
You know it's going to keep going up.
We hit bottom.
You hit bottom. We hit bottom.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You're saying that on this program.
On the record.
We hit bottom. We hit bottom. He's on the record. Dan Whitney of Land Marketing says we've hit bottom and we're going up. Brian Rodrock, home builder for Rodrock Homes, also joining us. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for coming on the show today.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And tune in tomorrow as Kansas City native and TV and theater legend Ed Asner joins us for a conversation. He's coming in town to perform his one-man show on Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Plus, we speak with a professional futurist. Our show is produced by Andrea Salenzi with help from Charlie Upchurch. Up to Date is next with the Book Doctors. I'm Jabalani LaFall. This is Central Standard. Enjoy your day.